Good afternoon, and welcome to Strands of Wisdom. We're coming to you live today, Thursday, May 16th, 2024, on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way you listen to the world. Thanks for joining us. I'm here with a guest. Usually it's Kay and I. Kay had an appointment today she couldn't change, so we have a mutual friend here. His name is Ken Norton, Ken the Psychic.
Yes.
And Kay has known him a long, long time. I've known him a couple years, but, you know, we're just, best buddies here, best psychic buddies. But say hey, Ken. How are you doing?
Yeah, hey, Ken. hi, I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be here with Maureen and anything to do with Kay, I'm glad to be associated with. So this is a good time for me. Thank you.
Yeah, we're happy to have you. So how did you get started in this, Ken?
Well, they want to short people. No, I was a little kid and had a lot of weird experiences like most kids do. I think if any of you do any regression work, you'll find out that you had all kinds of psychic experiences as kids that we can't remember as adults, because it's not a good idea to remember that stuff usually. So I had all the standard stuff like that, which I wasn't really aware of till later. I, doing regressions, realized that I'd had a lot of experiences that I'd forgotten. Mostly, though, I died when I was 10. I was in a bike accident and it didn't go well. And so I got to do the near-death experience thing. The unique thing about that was that nobody tells you you're dead. So I was a 10-year-old kid that didn't know what the hell was going, what the heck was going on, excuse me. I was amused. And so I didn't know what was happening afterwards. Nobody said, by the way, you died. So I didn't know what that whole experience had meant. I saw people during that experience and I didn't know what that meant. So there was a lot of questions, but no one supported them. So I pretty much forgot. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until a family reunion, like 50 or 60 years later, someone said, yeah, I'm buying a motorcycle. I'm saying, wow, be careful. I almost killed myself on one of those when I was a kid. And my sister, we're at a group meeting, a group meal, leans over down the table for me and says, you didn't almost die, you were dead. And at that
were you
point,
shocked?
Yeah, at that point, it was like someone hit me in the head, because it was such a shock that I hadn't ever realized that's why it happened.
Wow.
So I went back through the law, because I remembered it really clearly, because it was a really weird experience. But I didn't have any words to put to it. I didn't have a concept of Jesus. I didn't have a concept of heaven or hell. I didn't have any of those concepts going on. I didn't know what an angel was or anything like that. So it might have been, if I would have had those concepts, I might have had some of those experiences, but I didn't. So all I saw were strange people. And that's,
well, what did they look like? What were they?
That's another podcast.
okay.
They changed. They're uh-huh. Nebulous. They're not real solid. And I got the feeling that my impression was that they were trying to comfort me, and that they were trying to come up with images. They were trying to put on the appearance of whatever would comfort me. At that point, comfort in my life was in terms of chubby little old ladies, grandma types. I could get hugs from grandmas, which were the best thing in the world for me.
Right.
And so one of the women became a grandma, really similar to a grandma I had known, but she wasn't exactly it. So I was saying, no, it's not her. It's similar to it. So she changed as I was watching her. She changed into another woman.
Wow.
And, you know, really loving, really warm and all that. But I realized that what had happened was they were trying to find something I felt better about. They were trying to comfort me. There were three of them, I think. Two of them were very distinct. One of them was fuzzier. They were off to my right. I could look the standard tunnel. I could look down through a tunnel and see this poor little dead kid down there.
Were above your body.
Yeah, I was maybe 20, 30 feet above. You do have 360-degree vision. You have full vision clear around you. But you're looking down through, with me, was basically cloudy. And then in the middle of the cloud was this hole. So it was like a tube going down. Mm-hmm. I could see the critter down there, my myself. I was at a Catholic hospital, so I had priests and nuns doing the whole thing they do. And you know, so that was the whole experience. I didn't know I was dead. I didn't see Jesus. I did not expect to see Jesus, though. And as I understood it later, it seemed to me that I was going to see what I expected or what I was afraid to see. Whatever my own thoughts were going to very much control what happened to me after my body quit working. And so I intuitively, it seemed to me that I intuitively knew that. So anyway, but it was okay. Everything was safe. Nobody said, I don't remember conversations. They were in my head. I could feel them in my head looking for the little old lady that would comfort me the best. Yeah. And they were trying to find that. It seemed to me. So anyway, that was all cool. But I forgot about it after that. Didn't remember it till 50 years later when someone mentioned it. But I realized then that the takeaway from all that is you don't die. After your body is dead, you're not dead. And also, by the way, any pain or confusion you are in is immediately gone. Things are much better. Your worst day becomes your best day. Mm-hmm. And to me, that was the best thing about it. If you don't die, by gosh, it's not bad at all. There are other critters there. I don't know that they're people the same way we're people. But there are others, and they seem benevolent. They seem like they wanted to help. So that was my whole experience. Anyway, that was how I got started.
Yeah.
But I wasn't aware of all that till I was like 50. So as a kid, you're growing up, I was kind of abused as a kid. And one thing about it being an abused kid is you really want to know the state of mind of your parents. You want to know when they're going to freak out. You want to know when your life is in danger.
That's a hard way to live.
And it keeps you on your toes. And I realized that. I realized that I could know a block or two before I got home from school whether it was safe to go in the house or not. You develop those skills. And when you're wrong, you pay. When you're right, you benefit. So
survival.
I think a lot of abused kids have those abilities too. Mm-hmm. I think that a lot of kids that are in foster care or various kinds of care are probably difficult for the people to take care of them because they don't realize the kids are actually quite psychic. That they have a really good idea of what you're thinking about, of what you're going to do next, of whether you're dangerous or not, all of that stuff. So to me, that if I was teaching kids to be psychic, I would pretty much have them remember when they were psychic. Because I think we all develop that just as a survival skill, particularly abused children. So anyway, that was how I got started doing it. I had a lot of very strange experiences. I was in grade school or junior high track where you throw shot put, these steel ball, lead balls, whatever. You throw them as far as you can. And the procedure is I've got one, I throw it, I go pick it up off the ground. Somebody behind me is throwing theirs. So if they're not careful, they can hit me as I'm picking mine up. I was out picking mine up and the other guy had thrown his too soon. And so intuitively, I was floating above all this and could see this shot in my head, shot put. And I turned just as the shot got to me. So it didn't impact me. It just grazed me as it went by. But I ducked my head down as I did that. And to the kid that threw the shot, it looked like the shot hit me in the head and knocked my head off because the shot fell on the ground.
You had a rough childhood. And,
yeah, the shot fell on the ground. He became hysterical. I'm in no pain at all. I'm just fine. I just missed the shot, so I'm feeling pretty good. And this kid is on the ground, just totally losing his sanity. Mm. So I had to go over and show him that my head was still on.
Oh,
and
gosh.
All of that. So how old
were you then?
Junior high.
So yeah, like 12, 13.
Yeah, early people.
Well, our generation too, we were out there, boy. We were drinking out of hoses.
I know.
We were like,
playing with dogs we didn't know.
We were doing stuff that kids don't do now.
And we would go play. And the parents would say, get out of here. I'll see you at dinner.
Go outside. You know,
exactly. And that's not in the yard. That's out of here.
So we did. We had a lot of risky play.
Well, we thinned out a lot of them. We all lost a few along the way. So
I don't remember that,
it was a toughening experience.
yeah, it toughened you up. Yeah,
Yeah.
digging in the dirt. I remember I was signed up to go to ballet class, and I'm out there digging in the mud. I'm completely covered in mud, and my friend's mom comes to pick me up, and I'm like, ah, you know, no, I was not going to be a ballet dancer at that point. No.
It's important to make those decisions
Yeah, it was
early.
that. Yeah, I was 8 years old. I knew
But
then. That was it. No. So.
I don't know. To me, that was all fun, though. But going through, I lived in a lot of different cultures. I lived on the Sioux Reservation in South Dakota, the Fort Belknap Reservation in Montana. I can't remember the name of the reservation in Minnesota. So I lived on four or five Indian
Really? Wow.
reservations. And
Why were you able to do that?
my parents were Bureau of Indian Affairs. They had a
Oh.
construction company in Wichita, Kansas. And I think in 57 was when it went on. There was some sort of a economic collapse in Wichita, and custom homes, people quit paying for their custom homes. And we didn't have enough money to coast through that.
Right.
Suddenly we had to find new income. Dad did. So civil service was wide open. He had military experience, so that counts in civil service. So they had openings on Indian reservations. So he took off to the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation in South Dakota, and lived there for about 6 months, getting a house ready for the rest of the family to move up. We were the only white kids in town, so we fought a lot. But we also got exposed to Indian culture
Yeah,
pretty
you had a
heavily.
lot of good
And
experiences you wouldn't have
my
had.
best friends were Indian. I'm surprised I didn't marry an Indian girl. They mature very early. And so it was a wonderful experience for a young boy.
Yeah.
But anyway, I enjoyed all that. But you learn a lot. Indians have psychic abilities that white people don't accept. I wanted to learn how to make fry bread. I love you dip it in cherry sauce. It's wonderful. The neighbors next door were making it, so I had made friends with them. So I watch them make fry bread, and they were showing me how to make the dough and stuff. And does it need more water? And they would go, and they would look over in the corner. Three of them would looking over in the corner and then nod their heads and add more water. And I'm going, okay,
What
what's
were they
good?
looking at?
Yeah, exactly. What's going on here? And I said, so how'd you learn how to make fry bread? So grandma, and they all point to the corner.
Oh.
Grandma, taught us how to do this.
Well,
So
that's pretty cool.
I didn't freak out. I didn't go screaming out or looking for Jesus. It was just a common daily thing with
Yeah, it was natural. It
it
was a
was natural. It was
natural
comfortable.
psychic.
Yeah, and it was great stuff. And they were these were really, really wonderful people. I can't begin to say how wonderful these people are. They were so much more forgiving of white people than white people are of anybody. They were very open.
So how did you get into this? Like now you do this professionally, but
Right.
how did that transition happen from?
Kay Dragon is one of the pivotal people in my life. She liked to go to psychics. This is like 50 years ago. And I knew her, and she kept telling me I needed to go to a
Was that
psychic.
here in Colorado
It was here
or?
in Denver.
Okay.
And so I would go to psychics. None of them liked me very much. I had a pretty crappy attitude. But they were all saying, Kay should dump you really quick, and stuff. I mean, so they were there. It wasn't, I didn't, why should I believe that stuff? So why should I put up with that? So I didn't, but then she said, well, there's another psychic you might enjoy. You should go see her. Her name was Yvonne Charnabo, psychic over on Kipling, 4444 Kipling. She had a school there. She did readings. She had weekend class, so I went to one of her readings. I got a reading from her. It was a pretty good reading. It didn't shake my socks off or anything, but it was good. I mean, she got a car called correct and a couple other things, but I didn't, it didn't save my soul or anything. So
Right.
she said, but I teach a weekend class. You should come to that. I said, okay. So it was a full day class. Went to that. There was a lot of semi-hypnosis, Silva type stuff that went on in class, but you did exercises. One of them was psychometry, where you take some inanimate object and hold it in your hands between your two palms. And as you do that, you get impressions, pictures in your
I
mind.
love to do that.
And
That's one of my things I can do.
one of our experiences, so she passed her teaser out. She didn't tell anybody they were keys. I didn't know her keys, but I got pretty much her story off of the keys. And so after that experience, after that exercise, she pulled me aside and she said, you need to work here. And I go, what, you know, sweeping up, what, washing windows, what, you know. And she goes, no, you need to do this stuff. And I go, well, will you teach me? And she goes, yeah, no problem. So so I started working for her. And mostly I just handled calls when they came in. People wanted a reading. So I had to learn how to boom, 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 readings just as fast as they would call. Because they didn't make an appointment to talk to me. They just called up. Her, you had to make an appointment for it. You prepaid the whole bit. Not with me. So I was doing that. And it was going pretty well, but teaching the classes was the best part. Because, one of the things we got that was fun, though, was that the people that run Rocky Flats at that time, they made atomic bombs out there. And they said, the guy said he was the PR guy from there. His name was Dave Alder. And he said, we would like to have you psychics tour Rocky Flats, the bomb factory, and give us your impressions. I should have smelled the rat right then. So I went out first to tour the place to see what the heck's going on. Turns out there was a whole world out there. There were a lot of buildings underground. It was a huge, they built atomic bombs. You could look in to this room that had glass walls that had atomic bombs in they had to have a special gas so they wouldn't ignite. They were plutonium. So they're hydrogen or something. I don't know what. Anyway, it all glowed. It was blue. It's really a really impressive looking. But they would say, so I'd say, how many buildings? And go, oh, we got 10. And all of them had radioactive badges on to tell where
like
they had
been. Like a sensor?
Yeah. And there would be like 14 buildings on the sensor. And they said they had 10. And I go, well, it says 14. And he says, oh, those don't. You know, they would tell me obvious lies like that.
Well, what did they have you out there?
They said it was to get a psychic's impressions of a bomb factory.
Weird.
Yeah, I know.
That's
does that sound real? That doesn't
that,
sound real,
weird,
does it?
Yeah.
Something's wrong with that story.
Well,
but Yvonne was a good psychic. She had done a lot of work with treasure hunters, finding stuff on the ground. Huh. And so I was thinking that might be some of it. I'm guessing. But anyway, so we went out there. Then I went out there the next week with Yvonne. It was a strange experience, and after we got done with the whole thing, there was a lot of things that went on that I probably shouldn't talk about.
Yeah, let's not.
But afterwards, they wanted our impressions, and I gave my best impressions, and Yvonne didn't say anything. And I'm going, what, you know, later I'm asking, so what happened? We didn't say anything. Mm-hmm. You know, I was hoping for a little backup on some stuff. She goes, if I would have said anything, we would have gotten out of there. And I'm going, oh, okay. Because the vibes were very, very strange. They were very strange. There was something,
like it would be uncomfortable.
Something else was going on. I do not know what was.
Yeah.
I knew something. I knew that what they had told us wasn't what was really going on. So that was interesting. Anyway, I worked for her for a while. I got a little. She. A lot of very psychic people know too much about other people, and they can manipulate you. Manipulate your relationships because they know what you feel. And you have to be really careful when you're dealing with a psychic. You don't want a lot of advice about your own life because you're going to get their personal impression about your life, which isn't going to be the best thing you need to know. What you need is to do something that would be useful to you. And if they're telling you what they feel, they're what they feel as a person, not as a psychic so much. So it can be dangerous. I had a hard time getting readings from Yvonne because I always felt like she was manipulating.
Well, she knew you pretty well.
Yeah,
it's hard to give
did.
Readings to friends sometimes.
It really is.
Because you do know, you know more
yeah,
than, you know,
yeah,
it's
and,
not.
And you say also that, well, I think this. You don't ever say that. You say, I know this.
Uh-huh.
And with a friend, that's a bit.
It's hard to be neutral.
Yeah, it is. And so it's a difficult situation. I didn't know how to do it correctly. I didn't do it correctly. My relationship with her deteriorated a little bit. Anyway, so I left that situation. I quit doing that kind of work completely. I became I managed restaurants, and there's no money in that. You work 100 hours a week, you make about the same money as a busboy does.
Did you you do readings at the restaurants?
Well, that's the story. So I'm working at an expensive hotel downtown, and I've decided to become a waiter. Waiters make more money than anybody in the restaurant. And so I got tired of being a manager because you work 100 hours and all that. So I'm bored one night as a waiter. So I start doing readings. Say, by the way, I'm a psychic. And well, of course, that's, you're full of crap to say that. And I say, okay, but let me tell you who your family is. And so I would do that. So immediately I had a following there. I had people leaving their posts in the hotel to come back and get a reading. Uh-huh. So immediately I had like three people wanted to manage me.
So you did readings during that, while you were a waiter.
Yeah, exactly. And it was an expensive place. So there were a lot of top people, showbiz people in there. I never read any of them.
Probably oh, okay.
There. No, I just read the help. Mm-hmm. The people there. But anyway, so I started doing that. I had done classes for Yvonne Chartola, their Silva mind control kind of class. So it's a modification of that.
Right.
And started teaching that kind of class with my then wife. And we did that at a place called Together Books. Did that for a while. Didn't have any great success. I mean, I impressed people that I was a psychic, but I wasn't training people to be psychics. And that was what I wanted to do, was have them be psychic at the end of it. Mostly the whole point I got was that psychic stuff exists. Most people had never had that experience. So that it is real. Mm-hmm. So if you want to learn, it is something you can learn.
Yeah, you can develop that intuitive side of you.
But most of them hadn't had readings. And when you're doing a class, you have hours with them over different class times. So I had many times to read these people. So right. They got read pretty much weekly. And I realized that's why they were coming.
Oh, for the reading.
And, yeah. So because they could, they could ask a different question each time.
Mm-hmm. Great.
So that, I don't know, I had a good time, though. It's fun to do. It's fun to see that look in people's eyes when you say something. There's no way you can.
Yeah.
You can tell them something they really needed to hear, and you didn't know that, but you just casually say it, and you can see the connection.
But it's like happens. You're channeling, in a way. Sometimes.
I don't know what channeling is. Kay does channeling really
well. Yeah, she does.
And I do not understand. There's much that Kay does that I don't understand. But she's magically beyond my understanding. But she also does the channel. I swear, when she's doing that with me, I swear I can feel her in my head.
Really?
And that can't be. But
well, she's really connecting.
Well, she's so strong.
Yeah.
She's tremendously strong. And you can feel that.
Yeah.
I can feel it. That's when I shut the hell up. So, whatever you say, Kim.
Exactly. Knows what she's talking about. All right. Well, so now you do local shows.
Yeah,
right?
Whatever I can. Actually, if you stop on a street corner, I'll start reading.
I know you will.
I have no shame.
You gotta be careful.
I don't have to gear up or get into the right frame of mind.
Well, but I mean, you do regular shows. And
yeah,
you do shows at little stores around town.
Yeah. I'm around the city some.
And Body, Mind, Spirit Expo.
The big shows out.
Big shows a year.
Yeah. I like doing those because you get to see everybody else.
Oh, it's fun.
You know,
it's like really connecting with your tribe.
Yeah. And I'm trying to make it too. I'm sorry. I approach this kind of from an entertainment point of view. I think we need to be entertainment too. And so I wear a top hat, like the Mad Hat.
It's cool. Really cool. You look great in that hat.
Well, I hope so. But even if I didn't, I still would.
People are like, the guy with the hat.
The guy with the hat. Yeah, they remember me. They remember the hat. So that's good. But I was doing, because we are entertained, you have to be, there has to be something that's going on that draws.
Well, remember the last time you signed up and then they dropped you. And then I noticed you weren't on the roster. And I'm like, wait a minute, you got to. So then they put you up. You got an excellent space, though.
Yeah, I did. It worked out.
But then
they listed you
as Can.
Can the psychic.
I know. Can the psychic read you?
I don't know if they meant to do that as a little dig or
no,
was
they
just
didn't.
A screw up.
Or, no, they screwed
up.
But you had a great show, though.
Yeah, it was a good show.
Great show.
And I was first people coming through the door.
Yeah.
So that was nice. One
Yeah.
thing I like to do at shows, though, is people are walking by and they're trying to decide if you're a good deal. And so I try to blow that out of the water, saying, sit down, don't worry about the money. If you don't like it, don't pay, or pay at the end. That's my whole shtick. And quite frankly, quite often I do better doing that. Because my whole point is the pressure's on me. I have to blow their mind. I have to give them what they want. I have to fulfill their needs. And if I do that, then I'm rewarded. And if I don't, then I'm out of business.
Yeah, but also they choose you. They choose to sit there.
Exactly. I can't. I'd love to be able to make it, but
No, you can't. And
Sit down.
yeah. So we had a great show last time. It was
Well,
super.
okay, one thing I do though is I'm quick and funny sometimes, and I'm profane and all that kind of stuff,
You
and I
are.
do a lot of different stuff, but I don't do heart the way Maureen does. Maureen, whenever anybody comes to me and I can tell that they've got an issue going on in their heart, we all do about something, but something that I want more information on, I want better wisdom to find on. So I send them to Maureen. I take a little introduce them actually.
Yeah, you
Because
do.
her heart is so well, it's self-evident. That's the good thing about it. There's no I can verbalize forever, it wouldn't be crap. You can experience it once you experience it. You realize, oh, I know why I'm sitting here now. That makes sense. So when I read somebody that I'm doing a reading for, but I can tell they have a serious heart issue, they need more empathy, quite frankly, than I have I send them to Marie because I know they're going understood. See
I appreciate that. And
well, it's true,
sometimes you'll bring them, like handing them over to me, and then other times they'll just show up and say, "Ken sent me," and I'm like, "Okay, sit
No, it's true, but it's
down."
true. Well, to me, it's servicing the client too.
No, it is.
It's doing their best, their best bet for them.
Yeah, we're there for them, actually. That's why I'm there. I mean, it is about the community that we're in, but and you want to benefit financially a little bit, but that I would do it for free.
Actually, I would love to benefit financially greatly, but I haven't figured out how
Oh, anyway,
to
we're all that way. Yeah,
yet.
it's really about the gift that we have and using it.
Well, and it's so fun when people receive it, though. You
Yes,
can
to
see their face that, oh, they understood what happened. They're in awe of what happened. I love the awe. But also they appreciate the phenomenon. And so, to me, I love that. Excuse me.
Well, so can you talk about like a reading or a class that you gave that? Well, I know you've gone to
Okay,
people's
well,
homes.
one thing when I was cruising the mountain plains, whatever, what's the name of the big festival? Whatever it
Body,
is,
Mind, Spirit
Body, Mind,
Expo.
Spirit. When I first met Marie, I was
Oh
walking
yeah, how
around
we met.
with
Oh
two or three other
yikes.
people.
That's crazy.
That I was trying to get a psychic business formed with. If they were business people, they weren't psychic people. Big mistake on my part. But anyway, so I was trying to show them how I vet psychics. So we walked
Is that
around.
what that
Yeah. So
was?
we walked around and got I don't know, 15, 20 readings. It's been a lot of them. But one of them we came to was Maureen. We sat down and she had cards laid out as though she were a tarot. And I said, okay, this is significant. Pay close attention now for the next 5 minutes. I
You
want,
told your buddy that.
and I said, pay attention. I was hoping he wasn't paying attention, but I was hoping he was. And so Maureen gave me a reading, or gave him a reading. I can't remember which one
I
did it.
gave it to you.
Okay, and I said, okay, but notice she's not looking at the cards. She's looking at me. She's reading me. She's not reading the cards. Okay. That's what I'm looking for in the psychic. I can buy a book on not reading cards. I can buy a film or a movie or whatever. I can learn from somebody else. You can't learn from somebody else how to be a psychic. And so to me, that was trying to explain to him, this is a psychic. Okay, there's a card reader over there. This is a psychic. Those are different phenomena. Okay, they work together quite often, but they aren't the same. And I don't think I had any success getting that through to this guy. But that was how I met Marie, was that she exudes this heart essence, that actually the best thing about it doesn't feel so fulfilling. It just feels safe. You feel like you're safe. And to me, that was, I mean, it was self-evident. You know, I didn't have to show, look at this, look at this. No, it was that was self-evident.
Well, the thing that happened, like, that was the last day of the show. And I remember on my way driving there, and I asked Spirit, I'm just driving along, I'm like talking out loud, and I'm saying, you know, show me what I need to do to move forward with this work that I do to continue to make it fulfilling and, you know, bring the right people into my life. And am I
Right.
supposed to continue doing this? And
I think you do.
then you guys showed up. It was sort of at the end of the fair. That fair was so busy, I couldn't believe it. And and then you showed up, and then that was it. And we've been friends ever since. And
Yeah.
it's been a
Well,
good
I fell in love with you when I
relationship.
meet you. I'm one of 10,000 men that have done that. Marine has a unique
I'm like a
arc.
mother hen,
She's
that's
got an
why.
archetype going. She can call it Mother Hen if she wants. I'm going to call it something else. But men are, I mean, whenever you want to find Marine, look for a crowd of men. Because
Silly.
there'll be around, she'll be reading them and she'll be healing quite
It's
a few of
nurturing.
them.
It's a nurturing
She
energy.
does
Yeah, that's
nurture
what I have.
and it's mutual nurturing. It's but also it exudes. I'm at the table next to her reading. I'm getting all this blow by, all this energy that's coming my way. And I'm going, wow, I'm not doing anything for this. I'm just getting it. This is great.
That's good.
But
Yeah.
to me, that's what I loved about the show is the different kinds of readers,
Yeah,
you know,
everybody has
the
their
different
gift. Yep.
abilities, the different skills, and how they can coordinate. I was so wrong on that. I assumed that you could get a group of psychics and they would work together. I was so wrong. Psychics have learned all of their abilities individually. They haven't learned it in school. They've learned it through blood, sweat, and tears by themselves. They've suffered for it. They've been chastised for it. They've suffered, pure and simple. They do not group stuff well. It's herding cats. It's
Herding cats.
because they have their own unique ability, each one,
Yeah.
and it's self-developed. It wasn't from a class or anything. Some of the traditions will be similar enough. Like when we're all reading cards, there's enough commonness about the way we all see cards that we can get some common stuff out of that.
Right.
But most of the time, everybody has their own ability. And for me to try to teach you when you already have your own ability, teach the way I do stuff, is I didn't understand what an insult it was. That you're telling someone, I know better than you, let me show you. And to me, I didn't understand what a jerk I was being. So I don't do that anymore. I respect the ability of the person I see in front of me and investigate that as opposed to trying to change it. So to me, that was a masculine moment for me
Well,
to look and say, okay, maybe you don't control this, Ken, you
yeah,
know?
no, and well, going back to how do we learn? I mean, some of us are born with it, others, you know, we develop it. We all have that intuitiveness, that knowingness, and it can get developed. But I do think that a lot of us do it on our own. But some of us reach out and take classes, and then we learn together. And you might find the right tribe for you. You're talking about Native American, but you know, we all have our own little tribes that we learn with, and women learning with women too, you know, or healing with women. I think women heal women. Together, we communicate, you know, that
Well, us men
kind
are
of thing.
such jerks. We don't give very easily anyway. So you have to set us up to where, okay, now it's okay to give it. Okay.
I don't know. You have to feel safe. You're trusting.
It's
It has to do
trusting,
with
yeah.
trust.
And we can't ever diminish our masculinity,
Yeah,
you know, so it
no,
has
that
to
could
be
be
a
a
manly
problem.
thing.
Yeah. Okay, I
It's
was trying to.
tough being
Yeah.
a
Okay.
man.
Yeah. I was trying to look at the chats. I'm not really seeing. I don't know why my chat thingy is not
It
working
could be
here.
we're boring.
Oh, maybe we are. I don't know. But so we have both. I was going to talk a little bit about First Spiritual Science Church that we are both members
Oh,
of
good,
now.
good, yeah.
Yeah, and we are doing. Both became readers there at the church. Kay is also a reader there. So many gifted people there. We just did a fair, I think, 2 weekends ago. And it was busy, and it was exciting, and it was healing, and it was all of that. And then we do First Thursdays also there. So if anybody's local in Denver, you might want to come to First Thursday. It is the first Thursday of the month, starts at 7, and it's a really rewarding experience just to understand, you know, a little bit more about readers and healers.
Well,
and,
there's some of the best readers of Denver too. So, I mean, I've been around a lot of readers, talking about a cluster of readers there. And I think part of it is I was going to do a whole spiel on that, of how everybody there is safe.
Yes, that's a good point.
The head people, there's a head, Pastor Susan. I don't know her last name. She's Pastor Susan.
Yep.
I guess her first name's Pastor. But but anyway, she and Coco, there's quite a few other women in Dara that have made that place safe. If you don't know what I mean by that, there are evil forces in this world. I'm sorry, folks. I don't know how to put that nicely, but there are. Some of them are mobile. Some can travel. You don't want them traveling with you. And if you go someplace, you want to go someplace safe where they can come with you. So anything negative in your life, you go to one of these safe places. It cleanses you. It protects you. It nourishes you. And quite possibly healed.
There's a lot of healing energy in that space.
Yeah. And to me, the best thing about that is once you get in there and you're safe, then you connect. And I don't care if you're sick, connect. If you're upset or mentally disarranged, connect. Connect with the other people there. A lot of the things, a lot of the rituals that take place in that church involve hugging.
Connecting with each
other. Yeah, a lot of physical connecting, a lot of singing together, like all churches. But there's just a wonderful, safe, connected area, space, physical space that you're safe in. That's why I like the place. I mean, somehow that building is safe. I don't know how Susan has done that.
But, there's a lot of healing energy in that building.
Yeah, there is. There's a healing room there. The healers are very good. A lot of Reiki-type healing. I do a different kind of healing than that. But there's a lot of kinds of healing that go on there. And it's very good. I've participated. I've received healing from the healers. And it's wonderful. It's just like a cup of coffee and a shot of whiskey at the same time. It's just great.
And it doesn't have to be a physical ailment. It can also just be an emotional thing that you're dealing with.
Well, you can also just be like me and just be selfish. Say, I want to hit, you know, and pump me up. And because you see the people that come out of that room actually are staggering a little bit there. They're barely connected to the earth because they've been so full of energy. So
it is
so full.
It's a good experience. Really
you can see them.
Yeah.
Okay, it's okay. Yeah. Sit down over here.
Yeah.
You know, because they've just had a pretty amazing experience.
Yeah.
So, no, it's a great place. The food's not bad, too. But there are classes there all the time. The Sunday services are great. There are readings in the Sunday services.
Yes.
Once a month, they have a night of readings.
That's the first Thursday.
That are phenomenal. To me, they're the best readers. And I've known a lot of readers in Denver. As a grouping, this is the best group I've seen. And they also seem to be pretty much mutually supportive. So there's not the infighting, because I've seen, haven't we all, seen that kind of stuff that can happen with people. I don't get that here at all. I get cooperation big time.
Yeah.
There are just so many happy people there. And I think they get happy once they get there. I think they come with needing to be happy in the church fulfills that need.
Well, we get there. I mean, any place like that, you know, you're drawn there because you have a need. And then you allow that need to be taken care of, you know, so you kind of know, I mean, intuitively, I guess, where to go to get healed.
Well, you acknowledge that you share that need with everybody else there, too.
Yeah.
I like it. I mean, it's not, you know, like, yep, we're getting good stuff here. And a lot of it's stupid. I mean, music stuff in the morning, I enjoy it, but it's kind of fun. Because there's a lot of us trying to, in half an hour of practice, get together a song to do with the church that's respectful.
I haven't joined a chorus yet.
It's rugged.
Tell me about the most, on a different kind of different subject, but tell me about the most profound reading, without giving names or anything, that you've ever done. What Have you had one that really impacted you? Like it was...
I'm trying to remember. I got a name right once that totally destroyed the person I was talking to, because it was someone they'd been in love with, you know, and had not resolved those feelings.
Mm.
And I think the person that died, I'm trying to remember, and having her talk. I didn't say she was talking through me. It just felt like this is something she would like to have addressed, and that kind of stuff, and have it be just what they needed to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And so I felt guided. I didn't feel like I was so smart, but I felt like whatever runs the show was running the show really well. That and said to this person what they needed to hear, because I don't know what that is. You know what I mean? I'm saying what I hear in my own head.
Yeah, you're getting the message and you're delivering the message.
But anytime a reader says, I'm saying this to you, they're full of crap. It's spirit saying that to you. It's not that individual. So you know, be careful where you put your belief. But I don't know.
Well, we've both done tons of readings, but I've had some really interesting, because I get pictures a lot of times, you know?
Yeah.
And I can remember this one time, this girl, her mother and daughter come separately for a reading. And so she's sitting there, and all of a sudden I see these, I might have mentioned this in another show, but I see these six guns. And I asked her, I said, we're in Denver, you know, in the wild.
Yeah, West. Yeah.
I said, do you ever carry guns or you shoot guns or whatever? And she just looked at me like, no. But her face changed. And I said, okay, so I continue with the reading. And at the end of the reading, she said, well, I'll tell you something about that. And she said that her former husband, her ex, had them tattooed there.
Oh, dear.
I know. Isn't that weird? And then I saw them on her, and I said, wow, you need to get rid of that.
Yeah, so yeah.
I said, energetically,
you're
carrying that all around with you, that old energy that's very negative for you. So, yeah, she was shocked, but that was pretty wild when I saw that.
No, to me, I love that stuff. That's verification. That's what we all look
oh,
for.
Oh, man.
And I think it's wonderful.
I had another time where I used to do readings where I'd have people sit in front of me. I'd put my knees to their knees.
Yeah, I remember that.
That was like, that was... So anyway, another time this guy comes and he looked like a cowboy and older guy. And so I'm doing the reading and I see guns. And I said, do you shoot guns? You know, I asked him questions. And he goes, no. He said, but I used to be a prison guard. And those things were still there.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe. And then all of a sudden I saw an Elvis collar flop up behind his head.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, I'm going to say this. It sounds silly, but I'm going to say it. I see an Elvis collar behind your head. And he goes, well, I used to be an Elvis impersonator.
Yeah,
I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
You know. Anyway, so those are the fun kind of things you get.
You don't say, give me $50.
Then he asked me about a relationship. And then I gave my honest read on that. So, but that was a great show. That was crazy. But anyway, so I get a lot of pictures sometimes.
Yeah, no, to me, and it comes, I can't predict it. You know, I mean, I don't know when it's going to happen. I wish I could make it happen.
Yeah. No, you can't make that. It's not real if you're forcing it. It has to come. So, well, I'm not seeing my chat here. I don't know why I'm seeing a little bit of chat, but don't mean to ignore anybody. But I do see Renee and Quelly. Thanks for coming by. I think there's who else was here? Renee, Quelly, and I'm not sure if anybody else is here, but I don't know why my chat thingy is not working. But, yeah. Anyway, I don't know why that's going to work.
Maybe we need to say something really provocative. The Broncos.
Yeah, I know nothing about sports. That's not my thing. So, anyway, well, what's next for you, Kim? What are you researching right now? You're always researching.
Well, yeah, I read a lot because I'm bored. But no, but I do a lot of that. Mostly what I realize is that all the Eastern stuff I've done a lot of. I worked with Naropa for a while.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of people in Eastern religions of different kinds.
Uh-huh.
And then I have Indian religions, you know, Hindu, the Tibetan, the Buddhism stuff,
uh-huh.
Shintoism, the whole thing. As much as I could read anyway, and I would read through them also. I just I'm in deeply in a class called Qigong right now.
Oh yeah, Qigong's great.
And so that, but all of it though, you realize, okay, Qigong though, by the way, a little quickie on that, is that it's coming out of communist China. Anything coming out of communist China has to be approved by the Communist Party. So all of their teachings, they have to be a unique kind of spiritual that doesn't talk about spirit, because they can't.
You mean because it would be too religious?
Because there is no spirit in their world.
No religion or
It's
whatever.
not a religion. Yeah, their government and their Chinese communism. It's an atheistic religion, and on and on and on. And so they have to talk about all this spiritual stuff and at the same time not talk about God or love or any emotion or anything. So that it's really a complex thing. What was my point?
We're talking about
I know, yeah. Dead air for the next 20 minutes here while they're trying to think what they were saying. I don't know.
Well, you were talking about, I was asking about research. What are you researching? And
Yeah,
you
what
were
I'm
getting
researching.
these books
Yeah.
that were written by communist
Well, the whole
China.
thing of it is, I was going to summarize all that with saying that all of these people study humans. And what's the topic of all of these religions? It's human beings. And I'm a human being. I can look in the mirror and see exactly the person that all of those religions have studied. Okay, so all the focus of all that religion is right here in front of me. I don't have to go there. It's all right here. That's the important thing to remember. So if someone's talking about prana, qi, or
Oh,
qigong,
yeah,
and
Qigong.
all of that, they're actually all talking about very similar things, maybe exactly the same thing, but they have different cultures, different words for it. So they have different ways of discussing it, and they'll argue about it. Well, it's not that. It's just, well, it's because we have different vocabularies, but we're all talking about a human being. So anytime I run into prayer, the structures of prayer, the structures of meditation, the structure of astral projection, the structure of all kind of psychic work, what's common in all that is that it's all about human beings. We're not talking about dogs being psychic. We're talking about people. So that sort of thing. When we talk life and death, we talk about everybody's life and death, our life and death. We talk about human stuff. So in other words, all of this stuff, you don't need to study for 100 years or sit in a cave for 20 years or all that. All you have to do is look in the mirror. That's who you're talking about. That's where the information is coming from. That's who does the work. That's who receives the benefit. If you want to become psychic, that's who is psychic. That person in the mirror. And you need to learn all of that it's you. It's not the book. It's not someone's trademarked buzzword. Quantum is the big one now. So quantum healing, quantum love, quantum knowledge, quantum action in the distance, quantum.
Quantum forgiveness, isn't there a book like
Oh,
that?
I'm sure there is.
Nope.
I'm not really sure what quantum means. I certainly don't know from reading these books. I know what a buzzword is, and that's what I learned from all this. Because no physicist is writing about quantum love, because they know what quantum means, you know. And so there's, you know, all of that stuff going on. But the important thing is that you personally don't need to study all this. You need to study yourself. You are the
You mean
topic.
go inward and
Exactly. Meditate, pray, just sit quietly, you know, anything. You can watch basketball. That will do it. You can do whatever because it gets
for
boring
some
after a
people.
while. You know, oh, it's good for about 10 minutes and then I'm gone. But that whole thing, it's all about you. So when I'm talking to you about, you can ask me about any kind of religious tradition that I know about, and I hopefully will be able to put that in human terms. What are they really talking about? What is that about? Because most of them, I think maybe all of them, are talking about the same thing. They're certainly talking about the same one. They're all talking about us.
Don't you think it's a lifetime of learning also?
Well, I hope so.
Like we're never
You know.
finished learning. I
Yeah,
mean, so
yeah.
as you're talking about this, it's just like this is constant
Yeah.
learning
It
and
just can be more fun. You can write yourself vacations in there occasionally. If you do astral projection, you can astral project to the South Sea Islands. So have a nice afternoon. You know what I
exactly.
mean? I mean,
I think I'll try
you
that
know,
today.
well, that's what I do for depression is I just go up. Literally, I do. I calm myself down, close my eyes, take a few deep breaths, imagine what I look like from the ceiling. And then I go up through the ceiling out to, if it's a warm day, it's not too hot because I don't have a body.
Are you traveling on the astral plane?
Yeah, whatever you want. I don't know. But I'm traveling on Denver's air. That's probably thicker than the astral plane.
Probably.
But you know, yeah, I'm really scared of titles like that. Oh, you were on the astral plane.
Okay.
There was no sign that said that. I don't know.
Right.
You know, I could claim that, you know, and then you would want to compare that with your experience. I'm not really interested. So, you know, there's so many things you can do. Everybody can do. And you'll find out when I teach people, my whole thing is show you where you've already done it. You already know all this stuff. You just have to remember it. You have to remember what you used to do. And you don't, it's much quicker than learning. I mean, little kids were psychic many times. We had it punished out of us, or it just didn't fit in the world we were living in. You can remember a couple times when you were a psychic little kid where you had an invisible playmate. I know we don't believe in those now. They do exist for kids. There could be fairy godmother, all the Disney stuff. That where you think Disney got his all stuff. All that stuff exists. It's just that it exists for everybody.
Some people are afraid to look at it.
I'm guessing, but yeah, what I sell is fun. You know, like, wouldn't you like to dance with Mickey? You know, it doesn't have to make sense.
You
it's
are fun.
Fun.
You know,
that kind of stuff. We can have a good time with this. It doesn't have to be scary.
Yeah.
There's a whole thing called Findor where a bunch of hippies in England got together and grew plants where there's no way plants could grow there. And they grew monster plants, huge plants.
You telling me about that.
And so I do a little bit of, it's the whole thing is connecting with the spirit that is in the plant. I first thought I was connecting with the plant. Well, how can you cut a plant if you've connected with it? Because you're killing it. You know, how can you do that? How can I eat vegetables? You know, and so I had to go through that whole thing. Well, that's what we do with animals.
I know.
So, and if that plant's alive, and when I cut it, it screams.
Oh gosh, it does.
Oh,
let me go there.
Please. I know.
God,
and
me.
So I'm going. What is that? You know, how do I live in that world? And so through meditation, these critters talked to me, and they were telling me that the plant is an animal. The plant doesn't have a spirit in it. A spirit lives around the plant and in the plant occasionally, but the spirit is not in the plant all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it brings energy to the plant, and it brings love to the plant, and it brings all the good stuff to the plant. It directs it to the sun, it directs it towards the water, away from the bugs, and all that stuff. So all that is good. It means that I can harvest the plant, because while the plant is alive, it's not conscious. Okay. While there is consciousness that grows the plant and is around the plant all the time, and if you want plants to grow, you better make friends with that critter, because that's what will make stuff grow. And after a little bit of experience, a little bit of exercises, you can get to where you can see these critters. Another class I teach, there are critters that are all over the place all the time. The ones I like that help you garden, but the other ones I like, the ones that help you do housework. I hate housework. And so my wife is there. There's a physical therapist working on her. She's not doing well. And so the physical therapist working on her. And at this point, these little critters, and I'll describe them to you, they're about as big as a basketball. They're fuzzy. They look like a fuzzball, a big fuzzball. And the way you see them is they'll cross between a light source and you. So there'll be a flicker.
We're getting short on time, but are these like elementals?
They could be, and I think they probably are, because I'm communicating with them. They don't live and die. They don't have lifespans the way we do. They're more like the wind. But they have consciousness, their awareness. They people were interested to them, were entertained. And they're around all the time. And they, again, the way you see them is they break the light. They aren't very solid, but they're a little bit solid. And if you put a light source at the end of a hall, they're not a real bright, And then you'll see a flicker. And just when you're doing something else, you'll notice occasionally you'll see a flicker. And that's when, and if you can actually focus on them, they look about this big, about 8 inches circle, 8-inch beach ball, pretty small beach ball. But
So like an orb, maybe?
yeah, I guess. Yeah. But they aren't formed edged. They're fuzzy edged,
Huh,
like a
interesting.
fuzz ball. And I don't know if orbs can break light beams. I don't know how that works. I know that these guys can.
I'm fascinated by orbs,
They
but
do break light beams. So you can see it. Because I had a physical therapist there. She's working on my wife. And this one's dancing in front of a light beam. So
wow.
it's like flicker time. And she's working on my wife. She looks at me and her eyes just keep big. And she's like,
You
see
could
this?
see it,
And
Oh,
I go,
that's
I said,
cool.
don't worry. Don't worry. They're cool.
Yeah.
Everything's fine. And then she started telling me about her psychic experiences. So that was the whole story started there.
Yeah.
But those critters are there. At another house I lived in, they were at the bottom of the stairs. And there was a light in the, because the stairway has its own light. Down there at the bottom, as you walk by, I'd say, oh, someone must be in the basement because I saw all this movement.
Right.
And there wasn't anybody in the basement. I just had somebody between me and the light. And that was all. They aren't real
Well,
dense.
that's a gift that you can see that.
I think everybody can. I just think that
Well, we
they're,
got to work on, got to
you have to
develop it
look for them. Yeah, but if you look
and
for them, you'll see
study
them.
it and
And set the
meditate.
light up. Let the light do all the work.
Yeah.
It'll flicker. It'll tell you when to
Well,
look.
I think we're getting close to
Okay, I chatted for.
our we're getting oh, you gave us a lot of great info here, but I still can't see the chat very well, but I'm going to thank everybody for coming and listening, and maybe we'll do this again with Ken. He's got a lot to teach us
Yeah,
and
I'm
let
hard to
us know.
shut
Hey,
up.
anyway, so I'm going to read this affirmation from, which I usually do, from Louise Hay. The book is "You Can Heal Your Life," and I do like to just pop it open and see what the message is for today. So this is: in the infinity of life where I am, all is perfect, whole, and complete. I am one with the power that created me. I have within me all the ingredients for success. I now allow the success formula to flow through me and manifest in my world. Whatever I am guided to do will be a success. I learn from every experience. I go from success to success, glory to glory. My pathway is a series of stepping stones to ever greater success. All is well in my world.
Amen.
I'll close with that. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Tell your friends.